Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Wednesday Night Family Chat here on Free Conference Call. Today is the 17th of January, year 2024. Joining us in a little bit will be Kathleen Dudley, and she has an amazing story to share with us. But in the meantime, while we're waiting for our people to trickle in here and all, we're going to just basically have an open forum and talk about some of the current events and health issues and all that are paramount, really, at this point in time. We're in a war, in case people haven't figured it out yet. We're in a war, and the enemy is coming at us in every way possible. So through RF energy, through the towers, through chemtrails, through poisons in our food and water, to poisoning our minds, etc. So we have a lot of assaults on us bodily and mentally and spiritually. So again, this is like fifth generation warfare going on. So Randy, welcome to the program. I have started the recording, and then Kathleen will be giving us her information here in just a little bit, but we're going to wait for some more people to come into the program. And so how are you tonight, Randy?
Oh man, good evening. I'm good.
Good. Excellent. Staying warm up there in that Michigan state?
I am trying to.
So anyway, like I said, it's a multifaceted war that's being perpetrated against particularly the white race. I think people are now starting to realize that. They called us crazy. I'm sure Randy remembers back in the very early days of By Yahweh's Design, when we first started on internet radio back before 2000, a lot of people thought we were crazy. You know, you guys are lunatics, everything's fine, America will be this great nation forever and ever, and you guys are just paranoid, blah, blah, blah. But as Randy can attest to, a lot of folks have realized that that's just not true anymore. The country as we know it is well over. And if we don't turn things around here, it's basically curtains for that country. Our Heavenly Father's people, of course, we're going to be overcomers and come through all this, but it's really ugly watching it happen. I see Monica's joined us. Monica, I unmuted you if you want to say hello to everybody. We're sort of in an open forum session right now. Kathleen's going to talk to us here about her situation in a few minutes. So I've got you unmuted. You're muted at your end. So when you want to say something, just unmute and jump right on in there. But anyway, there's a lot of
stuff.
What's that, Randy?
Stuff that we have talked about and other people have talked about, like on these types of programs for years. I now see these discussions going more towards the mainstream. I mean, even like people like Tucker Carlson, hey, regardless of what people personally may feel about him, the stuff that they, I just stumbled across a couple of recent videos, stuff that they're talking like with the invasion that's going on. And a lot of these people are now calling it what it is, an invasion. You know, you would, I mean, these are things that we've talked about going for years. The invasion, it's racial issues, all these things. These things are now going towards the mainstream. I even stumbled across some stuff on, you know, people that are doing their own types of podcasts. They're not by any means considered white nationalist or anything like that. And they're literally talking about what really happened in the Garden of Eden. I mean, this stuff is all going mainstream finally.
Right. And we had one of the guys that's kind of leading the charge to bring up states like Tennessee, Florida, Texas, and other states, bring them up to speed on the common law, the Christian common law. He was in a conference call here the other night, and he was saying that many of the churches up in Tennessee on his recent visit are embracing what we call the identity message, which is what we've been teaching here for a very long time. But many of the churches are emptying, the mainstream churches are emptying, and the people that are holding typical identity gatherings are in people's homes, sometimes they're even in a barn. I've been in barns before giving addresses. Sometimes backyards, if it's a decent day outside, we'll have a barbecue and a cookout, and people will get up to the podium and just speak to crowds. And it's the way our ancestors used to do it. In fact, Christ himself never went into a building, not when he was in his, from his 33rd year to his 33rd year. He spoke outdoors to gatherings. He didn't go in any buildings. So we're getting back to our roots, and people are realizing that the mainstream, everything that's mainstream, is lying to us, whether it's the medical, the news, the government, schools, etc., certainly the churches, they're lying to us. And so it's kind of nice that, you know, people are starting to realize that. It's about time, really. It's about time. I yield.
I've been trying to bring up more and more about the books in the Bible, particularly, you know, Genesis 6, the book of Esther, book of Ruth. They've all been badly misinterpreted because, you know, according to history, the word Jew itself was not in the Bible until the mid-1700s. So how can there possibly have been Jews in the Old Testament?
Well, they couldn't, right. But that's how Satan and the adversary gets away with what they do, all of our adversaries, by deception. They make these little changes. In fact, the verse in there that says, "Beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is their hypocrisy." Well, that word leaven, if you look it up in an exhaustive Webster's dictionary, the leaven most people think of is what you put in your dough to make bread, which is like yeast. Hold on a minute. Monica can't find her unmute button. She's on a computer. It should be down on the bottom there where it says where your microphone is on my screen. It's on the bottom left. And you should be able
Mine's
to click
on the
on
bottom
that.
Left, too.
Oh, okay. You should be able to mute and unmute yourself right there because...
it's a little, little blue microphone that says mute, and you press that, and then it unmutes.
Right. Let me see if she's... I'll just say hello to everyone and would like to listen. Oh, okay. She said that that's okay. She'll just listen. But anyway, there... If you look down at the bottom at the menu, there should be a microphone where it says mute, unmute. That's the way it usually is on a computer. So anyway, Monica says that's usually where it is, but not this time. Well, that's weird. Maybe they just don't want you to say anything tonight, so the NSA's come in there and screwed up with the program. But when he said beware the leaven of the Pharisees, the actual word leaven should have been interpreted the way Webster's second definition, and it's anything that causes a small, almost imperceptible change in a thing or a process. And if you think about how the Jews have done it to us, they've done it just like the leavening mentioned by Christ, which is what I refer to as the operation of termites. They eat away at your structure day in and day out, just little bites, nibbling away until all of a sudden the wall on your house just falls over or a door falls off or whatever. I mean, they've been in there for years just gnawing away at the structure. And that's what they've done in our societies. They've been just working day and night to eat away at the solid foundations for our family and for education and for governance. And in banking, especially, all of it. And they just eat away at it and end up destroying it. And because we didn't listen, the churches put us to sleep, telling us that everything on 2 feet is our brother and a friend, and to love our enemies by turning the cheek. That's not what it meant. An enemy, you don't have to turn your cheek to an enemy. You turn your cheek to a brother in the faith and of the same race, to keep fellowship. In other words, if Randy here offends me, he calls me an idiot one afternoon or takes my shovel without asking me and I get all upset, I turn the cheek so that Randy and I can maintain our relationship as brothers. But if Muhammad down the street or Saul Alinsky comes down the street and he wants to do something to my family, no, he's not my brother. He's not a racial brother. He's not a man of faith. I'm not going to turn my cheek to him. I'm going to keep my eyeball on him and keep my gun loaded. So it's all misinterpretations that have got our people completely off guard and on their heels as to what's going on in this crazy world. So the mistranslation in the church world is greatly to blame for a lot of the garbage that's going on. Okay, see, I'll yield. Did Ella, Randy, or anybody have anything else on the open?
Yeah,
forum
I wanted to say something on that.
Go ahead.
There are two words that the pastors are completely forgetting about the Bible, and it's actually the main theme of the whole Bible, Old and New Testament, and that's called kinsman redeemer.
Mm-hmm.
That's
right.
What Christ is for us. He's our kinsman redeemer. And that means blood relations, kinfolk. It doesn't mean the whole world. I mean, John 3:16 is very pretty according to sayings and everything, but that's not what it's about. Because if you read the book of Ruth, which they misinterpret, they say, well, Ruth was a Moabite, but she was not. Moab was conquered by the Israelites, and Moab was inhabited by Reubenites, Gad, and Manasseh.
Right.
And Ruth herself was a Reubenite, and Naomi was a Judahite. Boaz was a Judahite. He came from the line of Elimelech, which is Judah. So, but they misinterpreted those Bible chapters to make people think that it's all the Jews, and
right,
that Boaz married a Moabite, and therefore the bloodline of Yeshua is all messed up because he's got all kinds of non-Israelite peoples in the line, and that's not the truth. I'll yield.
Right. Yeah.
I've got
exactly.
I got something beautiful to add to that. Because the Bible is all about our people. And right there in the Constitution, and I quote, "We the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity."
Our posterity.
Our people, not the whole people, not everybody in the entire world, our posterity.
Correct.
Our people.
That's right. This nation was founded by Europeans, Caucasian Europeans, and so their posterity are Caucasians. So it's not for everybody else. Besides that, the Federalist Papers, I believe it's number 2 by John Jay, makes it totally, totally without question that this country was founded by and for European Caucasian people. There's absolutely no question about that. When it says all men are created equal, it didn't mean all these males from all kinds of lands. It meant all Caucasian men, because again, in the Greek and Hebrew language, they differentiated between Adamic men and those who were not Adamic men. They had different words for them, where in English we don't. And so when it says all men, it's talking about anthropos in the Greek, which is the white man. Anthropos, men who have light on their face, much like Adam means to blush and show blood in the face. Anthropos means those that have the light of our Father in heaven in their eyes and in their countenance. And that's our people. That's why we don't have the dark charcoal-looking eyes that are black and lifeless. Our eyes are full of, just like Yeshua, they're like lightning comes out of our eyes. So,
and to add a little bit more to that, I briefly mentioned what Tucker Carlson put out. Reading from the email he sent out, it says, "The country you grew up in no longer exists. Soon it will be unrecognizable. That's because American leaders are doing nothing to stop our country from being invaded." Let's clarify what he's really saying here. We, the white race, are becoming the minority in our own country. Why don't they, right. You know, they're putting out some truth here, but just say it like it needs to be. I mean, just say it like it needs to be said, right? Don't pull no punches here. We're becoming the minority in our own country. Why? Because we've got a bunch of sellout politicians that cared more about lining their own pockets full of money. They all take the oath to preserve and protect our Constitution. But the Constitution's perfectly clear. They're supposed to protect us from our country being invaded. And of course, just like they want to try to take away our guns, silence our speech. Basically, every part of our Constitution is being violated by these scumbags. So when they say, hey, we got to ban AR-15s, that's your clue to go buy a whole box full of them.
Well, these scumbags are all masters. They're masters of misdirection. They want us keep our eyes on Hamas and Israel, the Middle East land. When actually America itself, which is a land of the white people, is Israel. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. That's part of the old stuff. If you look at it, and the founding of America to begin with, everything points to America being Jerusalem, and it will ultimately be New Jerusalem. But they have our eyes all turned on to the Middle East now, thinking that it's going to come from there, and it's not. Like Utah, Salt Lake City, the Great Salt Sea in Ezekiel. They're not talking about the Dead Sea in Israel. They're talking about Salt Lake City, the sea there. So our invaders are going to be coming from the western coast and from the northern countries and the southern border. And it's happening right now. People aren't paying attention because the news keeps pointing to the Middle East. And that's not where we should be looking. I'll yield.
Yeah,
it's biblical prophecy unfolding before our very eyes.
Amen. Hey, we're 21 minutes in here, so I want to give Kathleen a chance to get her information out, and then we can go from there after that. But if Kathleen, if you could unmute and then introduce yourself to everybody.
Well, thank you, Dan. I really appreciate coming on your program tonight. And hi, Gary, and hi, Ella and Monica. And, I have found myself in a very interesting situation. Unbeknownst to me, I ended up being sued twice, once in 2019 and once in 2021. And it turns out that the same basic people who sued me in both situations are they're all interrelated, and it's become a rather heavy experience to deal with, because ultimately, in my not accepting the judgment, I have been told by the courts, now I'm in contempt of the courts, and because I have not accepted their judgment, and that they have a legal right to put me in prison. And the way the order is written, that unless I do the remediation that the courts demand, then very likely there would be a power of attorney who would then take over my property and, in essence, steal my property. So it's a very interesting situation, because I have stood on the side of truth, and I have been unwilling to allow a very wealthy and politically connected landowner to, in essence, force me to widen my road on my own property. I felt that that was an unconstitutional act on his part. And over the last 4.5 years, I have found that while the courts do make reference to the Constitution, we all do know that this country is a corporation, and the Constitution, as we've been talking about it earlier in this show, and as we reference the Articles of Confederation, are not upheld. And it is the 43 million plus statutes and rules and codes and regulations that the bar attorneys or bar association has crafted over the years since the late 1800s that determine how much or how thick the shackles are on the populace, you and me. And I've come to find that even though I've taken a constitutional stance asserting my constitutionally secured rights, it has fallen on deaf ears. And unfortunately, through my own ignorance, I have persisted and continued this long court struggle and now face this very ominous outcome. And I have been working with a lawyer, and he has, as of yesterday, pulled my case out of the state of New Mexico. And we have filed a notice of removal so that the jurisdiction that I have been challenging in district court, that the judge refuses to acknowledge, just assumes jurisdiction, has now been pulled out from underneath her, and she no longer does have jurisdiction on this case. So all of those things, as of yesterday, are very good news. There is a stay. I'm now filing in bankruptcy court, which gives me an automatic stay to remove the case from the state of New Mexico. And it also gives me the opportunity to be able to do a notice of filing that essentially removes full jurisdiction from the state of New Mexico. The next steps are going to be critical because we will need to expose all the injustices. And as my lawyer says, you know, there's civil rights issues, there's race issues, there's procedural problems that the judge overstepped and violated due process of law. There are constitutional issues. They're applying a statute of me being a menace without actually fulfilling the requirements of what a menace is. I have done none of the three categories of menacing. And again, in my own overwhelm over these last number of years, I have not run a good case of defending myself in the hearings and in the trial. I've done the best I can, and I followed the advice of a couple that really has put me in harm's way. So I didn't think I would ever be working with a lawyer, but he is a three-time disbarred lawyer. So I feel like I'm in very good hands, and he truly understands, yes, he truly understands the egregious nature of the courts. And while he knows the language of the courts, he has been able to withdraw me from this impending prison sentence, which as of Monday, this coming Monday, the 22nd, I would be behind bars for 6 months minimum. And during that time, no doubt, my land confiscated, removed from my own possession. So that's kind of in a nutshell. I guess just to say a little bit about the other case of the suit, upon returning to New Mexico in 2019, I was harassed by someone who was a part of the party that sued me. And I kept reporting that to the police, and by reporting that to the police, his attorney sued me and claimed that I was the menace. But what I found out about this guy who was harassing me is that he has spent 14, perhaps 15 years in prison for violent crimes, rape and battery of a household member, and then, of course, harassment and theft. And property damage, and the list goes on and on. He has a 290-page dossier from Grand County, Colorado. And what this opposing attorney is doing is he is turning the tables and creating a story about me that is completely fictitious. It's a frivolous lawsuit, and he's very clever. He has managed to, in the collusion with the, in the conspiracy, truly, with the judge, managed to get his story on record and with civil contempt charges against me. It's all like a Kafkaesque story. It's madness because I am a law-abiding woman, and I work to help build communities and work with my fellow men and women and the children. And the last thing in the world that I am guilty of are the charges and the horrors of the ostracism that I have experienced by the many people in my community. So that's kind of in a nutshell what's been happening.
Do you have contact information? Would you be comfortable with giving out some contact information for the folks that do listen to this later on, if they feel that they can either be of assistance or just want to talk to you further about this this issue?
Well, I'll tell you, I have a new website that a good friend of mine just put together for me. It was a very spur of the moment and very quick event. And I would love to pass that out and have people contact me through that. I believe I sent it to you, and perhaps you could post it. It's https://. Kat Dudley, KATDUDLEY.com. And one of the things that I must do, I mean, I'm not in bankruptcy situation other than through the litigation. And so one of the things I must do in bankruptcy court is I must now begin to make a concerted effort to make a living. And it's a living that has been essentially suffocated through these last 4.5, nearly 5 years of litigation. The amount of time that it's taken to respond to these court documents and the essential attacks from the court have essentially minimized my ability to, number one, sell my property, and number two, to put the kind of work into making a living while I'm here. So I'm also putting an ask out there. If anyone knows how to do a GoFundMe, I would be more than grateful. I need to raise some funds for the lawyer, for the lawsuits that are coming, for this extended amount of court involvement that I see going to be taking place in my life. So, and you can also email me at seasidereflexology@gmail.com.
You want to get that one more time? Seaside?
Reflexology is the word, reflexology, at gmail.com. So my website, I'm a writer and a poet when I have the moment to do so. I'm a reflexologist, and I do holistic, nutritional, and herbal consulting. I generally like to use reflexology in that when people come for in-person consultations, but I can glean a tremendous amount about someone's health just through a Zoom or a Skype meeting. And I do consultation that way as well. So if people are interested in that, I've been doing this work for a number of decades, have had some very good successes of my own through healing, using German New Medicine as a part of that, and then the many other modalities that I add into that mix.
That we've been stressing the health issue from the very beginning when this radio show first started back in 1999. My son, who's joined us here, he's a board certified health coach, natural health coach. He's also certified as an iridologist. So he obviously is into it. I'm a certified natural health professional. Ella is a retired RN nurse, but she's switched over to natural. I'm sure Randy understands it, and John and some of the other people that are here with us now. Natural is the way to go. Like Ella, I know she's off all her prescriptions. She's completely free from the pharma. I'm completely free of pharma. Jeremiah, who is Qumri 87 here, he has helped himself, or not helped himself, but he worked with Dr. Snow and other folks and has completely changed his physiology because he had Crohn's disease. And the medical people that he works with and all have been amazed at his recovery. In fact, some of them even said that they didn't think it was possible that a person's intestinal tract could recover from Crohn's. And yet Jeremiah has done that. So he teaches it to other people and everything else. The point I'm trying to make is that from our perspective, the human body is a marvelous machine. Our Heavenly Father created this miraculous machine. And if we would just stop doing the harmful things that we have made habits of doing and give the body what it needs, it can recover from just about anything. That's been my experience. And again, we have people here can testify to the fact that they, in their life, they have done things that a lot of people thought were completely impossible. And if we're going to do these kind of battles, like Kathleen here, who's up against the long arm of the law and the corrupt courts and the corrupt prosecution offices and just people in general who are today reprobates, if you're going to fight the good fight, you're going to have to fight it with your health intact. If you are not healthy, it's hard to think straight, it's hard to stay positive, and it's hard to fight. And the enemy knows that. A soldier that's got dysentery, or a soldier who's got a bullet wound, or a soldier who is malnourished, is not going to be much of a fighter. And so they want the general population to be as ill as possible. We, on the other hand, who are fighting the good fight, we understand that our health is one of our greatest weapons because as a healthy person, you can think straighter. You can work with other people. And when we work together as a group, for instance, the scripture says in the council of many, there is victory. And I found that when I myself have been up against the court system and fighting other people that were being justly persecuted, I found that in the council of many, things go a whole lot better because if you couldn't think of something, maybe somebody else could. And we just keep on doing that. Let's see. Okay, I want to unmute Charles here in case he hits.
That court system, they are dirty. I've had a few rounds with them myself.
Right, exactly.
You win some, you lose some. I mean, it happens.
Oh, yeah. Well, you keep struggling. I mean, it's like Daniel in the lion's den, as far as I'm concerned, or David against Goliath. It does look daunting, but you have to remember the enemy works by deception. So the enemy's advantage is that they control tremendous wealth and much of the media, so they can generate a feeling of hopelessness or the idea that we can't win. And then many people, that's all it takes to silence them. But what you find out is that's a very thin paper veneer. And if you will continue the fight from a righteous standpoint, you can bust through that. Yeah, go ahead,
Randy. Kathleen, this is Kathleen we got on the line, right?
Yes.
Hey, Randy.
Yeah, I do want to give you some hope, though, because, I mean, we all know that the courts are very corrupt. But it's not impossible to have victories in the courts. It just, what I always tell people is you got to understand the game they play. And you got to, these people are basically like they're playing chess in a courtroom. And you got to outsmart them in their own game. Now, the one, not to sound like a defeatist, but we have to recognize that these judges and lawyers, they play this game. And they do it every day and get paid for it. So we find ourselves entering their arena, trying to outsmart them. They're very good at what they do, but you can catch them off guard. Yeah, that it's happened to me. All I'll say about that is the highest courts that I've personally been to. I'm not a lawyer, but the highest courts that I've ever been to so far, knock on wood, is the Michigan Appeals Court, and I won. So it can be done.
Well, good for you. Kudos. And that's encouraging.
You know, but money and a lawyer. Sometimes that's what it takes. And, yeah. I got what I wanted.
Well, I do agree with you. You have to understand the way in which the court speak. And I found out about a book that was written in, I think it was 1938 or 1939. 1938, and it was through Monica, and the Barnes Review have this new English translation of a German children's book called The Poisonous Mushroom,
yep.
And it is all about little stories about warnings about the Jews to the Germans, and in one of these little stories, it's called What is the Talmud? They say in here, in the Talmud, it is written, quote, the Jew is permitted to lie before a Gentile court. Such an oath is always to be seen as compelled. Even when a Jew swears by the name of God, he is allowed to tell a lie and in his heart to reject the oath he has made. And so, I have seen the lies. I've watched the lying and the perjuring of oaths in the trials, the trial I've been in and in the courts, and astonished at just how fluid the lies are. And so when I read this in this children's book written in 1938, I am convinced that truly does take place.
Yeah, that's the Kol Nidre prayer. We've talked about that since day one on this program. Kol Nidre is Yiddish for all oaths, and it's the prayer they say every year at Yom Kippur in the synagogues, and it basically disavows any oath taken for the next 12 months.
Wow.
So every year on Yom Kippur, the parking lot around a synagogue will be overflowing as every Jew scrambles to say this Kol Nidre, which will allow them to disavow any oath that they take for the next year. And it's completely within their religion. Like you said, it's in the Talmud, and every Jew practices it. So, again, when a Jew lawyer or a Jew prosecutor or a Jew judge or a Jew witness gets in there and swears to tell the truth, it's meaningless. How could you not consider that important, that you're going into a battle with somebody who has admitted openly that they are going to lie? How can you get to any kind of a just decision in a system that allows the people participating to lie? And this reminds me of something, and I know some people here, this is going to be a repeat, but many years ago, I drove all the way from Michigan to Oklahoma City to testify in a court appearance where my friend who lived in Oklahoma City was being accused of assault. And it turned out that the neighbor, who happened to be Jewish, was verbally assaulting my friend while we were on the phone talking to each other. So I heard the entire conversation, both sides of it. And I took notes. I just, something inside me said, make sure you take notes. So I took copious notes. Well, it finally came to trial, and I drove all the way to Oklahoma City, and this was shortly after the Oklahoma City bombing, so I got to see the area down there where two explosions were being honored, if you will, by the memorial there. Most Americans don't even know that. But here's the amazing thing. We're getting ready to go into the courtroom for the trial. And here is this Oklahoma City lawyer for my friend, who is a prominent Christian in the area. And he comes up to me and he said, Dan, I'd like to say something before we go into the courthouse. And I said, well, sure. And he said, I just want you to know that when we get into the courtroom, everybody lies. And I just looked at him. I was astonished. And I said, would you repeat what you just said? And he said, well, sure. And he said, I'm just letting you know that in the courtroom, everybody lies. Yep. And I just said, well, sir, let me just tell you something. I don't lie for anybody. I drove down here because I have truthful testimony that will vindicate my friend in his challenge in this court case to being accused of assault when the neighbor, the Jew, actually was verbally assaulting him. And then this lawyer was just astonished. And I looked at him and I said, you know, you're part of the problem in this country. Here you are, an established middle-aged attorney in a prominent area of Oklahoma City, and you're telling me it's okay to go into a courtroom and lie. I said, what the hell is going on? And I could go on about the shenanigans that the Jew was pulling in the courtroom, and he ended up getting chastised by the judge because I asked the judge at one point, I said, Your Honor, this lawyer is lambasting me and trying to change what I've said. And I said, my testimony is on the record. And the judge sort of grinned at me, and he looked at the lawyer, and he said, Mr. Johns is right. You need to be quiet and stop this immediately. His testimony's on the record. You don't need to sit here and try to refabricate new testimony. Oh, wow. And so my friend ended up being found not guilty, and the whole thing ended.
Wow.
But the main point was that the system has it to where even a prominent Christian gentleman thinks it's okay. In the 1990s, this is happening, that it's okay to go into a courtroom and lie. And this is the lawyer for my friend. This wasn't even the other guy. This isn't even the crooks and the cronies we were going in up. This is the guy for my friend telling me that it's okay.
They told it to you point blank. They don't even hide it.
They don't even hide it. It's amazing. Well, you know, the policemen have a word for when they go into a courtroom. They call it test-a-lying. Not testifying. It's called test-a-lying. They joke about the fact that they go in there and just say whatever they need to get the decision they want. This, how do you find justice in a system like this?
I don't think you do. And, you know, again, from this book that I just quoted it on the Talmud, you know, he says, the Gentiles say, be ever loyal and upright. Honor is the surest defense. And the his teacher said, what do the Gentiles mean by that? And this young Jewish boy says, they mean that one should always be honest in life. One should not lie and cheat. That's what the Gentiles say. And what do we Jews do? We may lie and cheat Gentiles. In the Talmud, it says, quote, it is permitted for Jews to cheat Gentiles. All lies are good. And furthermore, it is written, it is forbidden for a Jew to cheat his brother. To cheat a Gentile is permitted. And when we loan the Gentiles money, we must demand usurious interest. For in the Talmud it is written, concerning robbery, it is taught, Gentiles may not rob each other. The Gentile may not rob the Jews, but the Jews may at any time rob the Gentiles. And on and on. And so we have thousands of years of a system promoted in the Talmud that, and with this system of corruption owning the media and the politics and education and everything else, it's permeated and it's impacted even the good Christians who have gotten lost in their way.
Right. And well, part of the problem there is these preachers are just as bad as everybody else. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, I mean, this is something I've talked about before many, many years ago. Some people might remember, but, you know, going way back, I was still pretty young, a little bit naive at the time. I was still learning, but this would be my first real wake-up call to the corrupt courts. I had been elected as a precinct delegate, and then I got kicked out because they didn't appreciate somebody like me standing up to them. But they drug me through the courts, and the meeting room that this Republican Party was using was owned by the county. And, you know, people can use this particular meeting room, but they've got a set of rules and procedures as far as, you know, filling out an application and basically getting permission. So what would later be revealed, so on one hand, they basically said, hey, you know, Randy showed up to our meeting. He disrupted our meeting. He was loud, obnoxious, all these things, right? But through a Freedom of Information Act request, I was able to get an actual document from the county. They certified it that the Republican Party, there was no application that on file that even allowed them to use that room. And I could show that they knew what the rules were because there were other applications for other dates. So it's not like they didn't know. But for whatever reason, this particular date, they didn't have the application, and I had it certified on a county letterhead, right? So here they are accusing me of disrupting their meeting. And, you know, of course, I give all this stuff to the court-appointed attorney because they were coming after me for disrupting the meeting. I said, well, they weren't even supposed to be there either. So I'm disrupting a meeting that's not even being held legally, and I've got a document from the county certifying it to such. And you know what the court-appointed attorney tells me? It's irrelevant. That was my makeup.
Yep. I've been in the courtroom
the truth,
when the judge like I said, said
the truth
did not matter.
The truth does. Exactly. It doesn't, because all they cared about was convicting me and making an example out of me. But I tell you what, they've had a whole lot of hell to pay ever since they did that to me, because when one of their sheriffs, and this would happen years later, but the sheriff in that town who got caught on the side of, you know what they say about paybacks, right? When this sheriff got caught on the side of the road in a different county, and it's all on video, it's all over YouTube, pulling out his badge, you know, he was drunk in a car, pulling out his badge, you know, don't you know who I am, and, you know, there's things that could be done so people don't find out about this. Well, you know, the video's all over YouTube now. And then they also had a city police officer trying to say, because he was involved in a car wreck, trying to claim he had some sort of a medical episode. It was all a lie. The guy was drunk. And it's funny because they came after me, and all these things have come out about all these people. They are very corrupt, and like I said, you know what they say about paybacks, because all their videos and all their information, we spread it like wildfire. So I've got my payback.
Amen.
They're all liars, corrupt. They're corrupt. They're liars. They're deceivers. But it's catching up to them now, one by one. Even one of the judges in that town, one of the judges that was involved in my case, he ended up conveniently resigning because a female staffer had made some accusations. Well, apparently it was true because he conveniently resigned. Yep. They're all dirty. They're all dirty.
Amazing.
Just got to keep fighting them.
That's right. It's a good fight. That's why it's called the good fight.
Absolutely.
Floor is open. Oh, go ahead, Kathleen. Go ahead.
Well, it's an interesting way to have a war where the corruption is so obvious and complete, and the power of the few continue, as it has throughout history, to enslave the people. And anyone who stands up and refuses to be knocked down, or who refuses to be submissive, is hammered hard. And I've heard from people who know the litigants against me, they say that they're doing this because you're a fighter. You know, they're doing it because you're standing up. And it's as if anyone who stands for truth is going to get knocked down. And I think that that's pretty true throughout history, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, they feel threatened by you. Something that you're involved in, something that you're working on. You yourself may not even be able to quite pinpoint it exactly, but you've done something to upset a lot of people. That's what they do. They do this as a, like, intimidation tactic. Because a lot of people that go through this stuff, they'll wave the white flag and they'll run. They'll disappear. They don't. A lot of people won't fight back.
Right. And when you say a lot of people, it's really a handful of people.
Sure.
who are determined to, you know, to make my life hellish. And I look at that, and I look at the people who are working their darndest to harm me, and I don't think they're joyous people. Now, I've always been someone who has enjoyed my life and has been successful, and who adds to communities and works with people and enjoys people and relationships. And I look at the people that are trying to harm me and with their intentions, and to me, they look like their lives are rather miserable. And misery likes company, right? The old cliche. So if you can attempt to take someone's joy, take someone's basic livelihood away, what better way than to, you know, find your own success, right? If you're a miserable person.
Right. Part of the problem, too, Kathleen, is do they perceive that you're in this fight alone?
Yes, they do, because I am, other than all my good friends scattered around the world.
Right, but I mean, as far as they know, you're pretty much defenseless, and these are cowards, these are punks. So part of your strategy going forward, and the group here might be able to throw some more ideas into this, but as a former military intelligence officer told me before I was going up against the beast, he said, use the Bible for an example. And I said, well, what are you talking about? And he said, well, the lady that wanted justice in the scriptures, and she constantly was denied it, became a pain in their ass, basically. She became such a pain in their ass, they finally gave her justice to keep her quiet. And that, I know that sounds kind of silly, but that was the strategy I used primarily against these criminals, by writing certified letters to all the major newspapers, the governor, lieutenant governor, state police commandant, et cetera, and I used that philosophy by becoming a pain in their butt, by exposing all of their criminality, their unconstitutional behavior, their unsafe practices at the jail and in the courtroom, their constant lying and going against what's on, quote, the record. And so the advice that this military guy gave me was good, because I've seen where people went into the courtroom with the paralegals' information on Constitution and all these other things, and the courtrooms just laughed at them. And they would have done that to me, too, because I did try that approach at first, and nothing worked. I spent thousands of dollars trying to do that, and they just don't care. They don't care what's in the Constitution. They don't care what's in the Bible. They don't care about historicals, anything. So I decided to do what this guy recommended, and I changed my approach to make it painful for them. I could inflict as much pain. And what does a tyrant hate the most? Exposure. Shining a light in the darkness of their world terrifies them. And long story short, when the last day I was in the courtroom, and you could see the prosecutor, assistant prosecutor, was almost trembling when he had to talk to me. He did. You could tell he was uncomfortable, even though I was just basically one guy, and he had this whole building full of armed guards and cops and prosecutors, and yet it's because I had spent all that time exposing them, and I knew how he worked, and they work by deception. They're very uncomfortable when they're naked. When you know who they are, what they're doing there, that they're actually the criminals, and that they are operating beneath the law in a criminal venture, when that becomes open, they go very defensive, and you can almost see fear in their eyes. They couldn't wait to get me and the lady I was defending there. Couldn't wait to get us out of that courtroom. Let's just put it that way.
Just to add what you're saying right there, Pastor Dan, you know, I laid out a few scenarios of stuff that I've been dealing with, but you're absolutely right. Because while this one of these officers that I was talking about briefly, why they tried to cover that up in the news, this is, you know, for years, I've gotten pretty good at getting Freedom of Information Act requests. You know, we write to like the 911, we got the 911 audio call, and then we reached out to the Michigan State Police, and we got the body cam footage. Like, not a single news outlet. Look, and I'm not trying to toot my horn, but this is what one person can do outside of the system, against the system. We gathered that information. Yeah, it cost a little bit of money, but it's fun, because no news agency, like the news agencies covered this guy, like with the DUI, but they didn't cover the fact that the guy was lying. So we took the 911 audio and the video, which nobody had seen in the public, and guess what? Plastered it all over YouTube. So now everybody knows. Shame them. That's my approach. Put them in the spotlight and shame them every chance you get.
And make yourself appear bigger than you are. One of the things that my military guy advised me was to go public as much as I could. And it turned out that as word got out about what they were doing to this lady and how I was trying to extricate her from the system, all of a sudden people started doing things. Some guy started a website and started posting all of the things that they were doing. So when one day I went to the courtroom and I heard this one guy go, this is the have that website. And again, this was a long time ago. This was back in the 90s. So it was a relatively new thing having websites. And they said, yeah, they're posting all kinds of stuff about this courthouse and what goes on here. And it was almost comical. It was like watching the Keystone Cops. I mean, They just were beside themselves. They couldn't believe that anybody had enough audacity to challenge the system. So it shook them to the core. And in fact, my daughter, one of her best friends from high school, worked as a clerk at that courthouse, and she quit because of what they were doing and the exposure. She quit the job and went somewhere else for another job. So that kind of thing was happening. I had a policeman come up to me and apologize for what was going on. He said, Dan, he goes, I didn't sign up for this. I'm going to retire soon, and I can't wait. He said, this isn't what I signed up for.
Well, you know, one of the things that's happening today just in 2023-24 is that there appears to be a very brazen quality about those that are in control, whether it's in the courts or in politics or the media, and I see in the courts that even by exposing them, it matters not. They have all the tools: civil power of contempt, and throwing you in jail. And what worked 10, 20, 30 years ago in courts isn't working today. It's a very different climate. And so I find it very challenging. And having taken this new approach, learning how to understand the language of the courts and not use the constitutional foundation for my arguments is giving me a leg up, and it's giving me an opportunity to not be, the victim of today's courts. And I'm working hard to hold that posture, because they are still intending to throw me in prison should I let up in any way. So it's certainly an interesting opportunity and an interesting life to be in this situation. And I know everyone has their challenges. That's what life is all about. And I keep looking kind of to my right and to my left and in front and behind and go, so my challenges are really interesting, and I'm certainly being challenged by them. But if people who are listening to this have any inkling of how to do a GoFundMe or might be willing to do a GoFundMe, I would be ever grateful, and I would love to talk with you and get your support, and anyone who is in a situation that finds anything on my new website of interest to contact me as well.
Mm-hmm. And I think it would be beneficial. I do understand what you mean, that things have gotten even more corrupt over the years, absolutely. But I still believe that it's a powerful thing for them to know that you're not alone, that you have something that they don't know. In other words, let their own fears and paranoia work in your favor, that you have a body of people starting to come together behind you with potential of like advice or legal help, or even through the GoFundMe. But it would certainly not hurt your case, I think, if they are picking up that you're bigger than just this woman on a piece of property by herself. If they think that that's the case, then they're going to be very bold about everything they do. Whereas I think it would be beneficial if that image could be created, let's say, and they are, let's say, again, let their paranoia work for you and against them, that you are not alone. And really, you're not alone. As of tonight, this is going to go out all over the place. And I'm praying that somebody is going to contact you and help you set that GoFundMe up, and maybe even have some other tidbits of knowledge that will that you can put in your quiver to do battle and shoot some fiery arrows at our enemy.
That's great concept, and really, I haven't felt alone. I live here in this community, and they see me physically alone, but the support that I've had from my friends, and the support such as tonight, and I don't feel alone in this. As Monica and I have talked about, this is like the micro of the macro. This is the attempt to take truth and fully stomp it into the ground. And it's not possible, because if we allow that to happen, then the purpose of living, to be free and to assert our own God-given rights, are denied, and that's not living. So, you know, this is in many ways the micro of the macro, and I think too that they're seeing, because this court case has been going on for some time now. I have a docket of or a stack of court filings that is almost 2 feet high. So I think they're amazed in one way or another that this case continues, and I'm certain that as of early hour this morning, the opposing attorney is shocked that this case is now in federal court and no longer in the state of New Mexico. So I keep working from that perspective, Pastor Dan, of what you're saying. I think there's a tremendous amount of wisdom there.
Amen. Yes, as my father used to say, God rest his soul, you can't argue with success. He must have said that to me 1,000 times growing up. And it's a short little phrase, but it means so much. You can't argue with success. And so if it's working, don't fix it. Okay? If it ain't broke, don't fix it. So whatever you're doing, if it's getting the results you want, then that's exactly the way you should go. You know, and we all pray that the Father is going to lead not only you, but anybody helping you. As long as our cause is just, and I tell people that, your greatest defense in this world is to be righteous and to be in Yahweh's kingdom. Those are the two most powerful things that any of us have. Be righteous in the eyes of our Father and be in his camp. In other words, be one of his children. Because that's the greatest power in this world that we know of. And I have seen literally in my years some of the dark places I've traveled down the valley of the shadow of evil and death. As I look back at it, there were many times that I can look at events and know that it was a divine intervention. There's just no way the things that happened or were said or whatever could have been just happenstance or coincidence. Just can't be. And so that, to me, that's something that everybody should be wanting in their life. Not only that, when you're one of his children, the greatest counselor you can ever have is the Holy Spirit. I don't know why in our circles it's not talked about as much as it should be. But we have real-time communication with our Father through the Holy Spirit. And again, I've been in many, many situations where that little voice gave me something to do or say or whatever, and I looked at it later on and realized that that's exactly the right thing. In fact, the scripture even says that when you go into the courtroom, I'll give you the words. That's in the New Testament. Do not fear going into the courtroom on a righteous case such as yours. I will give you the words to say that will strike either terror in their hearts or confuse them or whatever. I mean, it's a powerful thing. And certainly in this platform and with the audience we have here, we understand that. And we would certainly want everybody else to, in this righteous fight against this evil that we have today, don't discount that power. I yield. Do you want to give out your contact information one more time, Kathleen?
Sure. Sure. So my website is https://KatDudley, KatDudley.com. And there is my holistic practice and writing, and you can contact me that way. Anyone who's interested in contacting me, there is a contact page. Then also, you could email me at seasidereflexology@gmail.com. So anyone who might be interested in helping me because I need assistance to set up the GoFundMe. I would be very grateful to have that help. This litigation is going to take many, many years from what I understand. And I look at this now as being a teaching tool and something that I can then learn by and share with others, because what's happening to me in the courts is just a tip of an iceberg of what's happening to people all across the world, and with the injustice and the attempts to harm. And so it's been a real, I'm very appreciative of being able to be on your call tonight, Pastor Dan.
Oh, absolutely. It's our honor. Yeah, that's what we're here for. We set this all up as a forum for the family, which is what we consider this, our family get-together. And you're certainly a member of the family. So, we're going to just pray that that somebody either listening live here now or the many people that listen to the recording, somebody out there is going to have some information. I personally have never set up a GoFundMe, but I'm sure one of our listeners has information on how to do that. And certainly this is a worthy cause. I've seen GoFundMe set up for things that almost made me fall out of a chair. Couldn't believe that some of the things that people set them up for, where this one's actually legitimate and for a good cause and can actually do some damage to our enemies. So to me, that's money worth spent. Does anybody else have anything here before we come to a conclusion tonight? Anybody have any final comments or a question, or even yourself, Kathleen, if you had more anything else you wanted to get out to the people?
Well, one more thing to say is that, you know, what we're facing today is not new. It's ongoing. It's been throughout history. And it really is quite a battle. And to wake up and see that we're in this war, and to recognize that we really have the responsibility to take it upon ourselves to stand and fight back against the tyranny, that if we don't, you know, we've heard this before, who will? And, you know, we have a responsibility to leave a legacy for those children, because if we don't stand up right now, if we don't expose what is going on, as Gary was saying, in the program he was listening to, you know, we've not seen anything yet. And I would say that, you know, that if we don't recognize this, if what we're going to see in the future is a country that's unrecognizable, I will be absolutely shocked, because I don't recognize this country today. And it is quickly devolving. And so we must stand together. And I thank everybody who is standing alongside with me in this, because this war is truly a silent war, and it is it's a serious one.
Amen to that. Ella's got her hand up there. Go ahead, Ella.
Oh, I forgot to unmute myself. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, now I can, sure.
Okay. What I was just thinking of is something I think I spoke with you about yesterday. In the way that the world is working now, they are giving us spasms and relief. Spasms and relief. Like with the COVID thing, we were all upset, but then they pull back now, and everybody feels like, oh, it's going to get okay now because we're relaxing. But, oh, no, they're preparing something worse that's going to come along. enjoy the relief while we have it now, because the Bible does tell us that the end times is going to be like labor pains on a female. And if you've ever had a baby, you know how that feels, ladies. You get those intense pains, and then they relax. Well, the worse the pains get now, the nearer we are to the end. And I know I have told people about the prophecies in Daniel 12:11-12, the 1290 days, 1335 days, may have been a sign for this coming fall in 2024. So there is going to be an end to this. We can see light at the end of the tunnel now. And we just have to remember, if we leave it in Yahweh's hands, he is in charge, not us. And he will lead us out of this, just like we are in it now. That's all. I yield.
Oh, boy, there is an ending to all this. Oh yeah. But look, while they're making their, this is very important, while they're making their plans, because their plans don't include us, right? They want to destroy us, kill us, all these. We have to make plans of our own. And for how many years, Pastor Dan, we've told people, prepare, prepare, prepare. Because they're preparing to do what they want to do against us, so we have to make preparations. That's what we've been telling people for many years.
And along with that, Randy, I will say that in the last 2 days, I've seen quite a bit of mail coming in of people who are, I don't know if they listen to this show or not, but it's kind of interesting that they are paralleling many of the things that we've talked about over the past 3 to 4 years. They're talking about parallel societies, parallel banking, parallel economy, parallel this, parallel that, basically coming out of Babylon. Just like we talk about Richard Buckminster Fuller and his quote, you don't fight the existing system, you build a better model that makes the existing model obsolete. And so that thought is starting to permeate through society, because I'm seeing it come back through multiple platforms. And these platforms are worldwide. They're not just here in the United States. So the people worldwide are starting to seek alternatives to the existing model, which is, we all know, absolutely corrupt. I mean, corrupt beyond belief. And so people, and this is how it all starts, folks. It doesn't happen overnight. It starts with a thought. The Greek word logos is logic. We get the word logic from that. And logos is a plan or a spoken word, because both of them require intelligence, which is what the human has versus the animal kingdom. We have that spark of intelligence from our creator that we can apply logic to creating a plan or a speech or spoken word. And so it starts with it in our minds when we realize that there is something very, very wrong and we need to create an alternative. And then when people of like mind start getting together and working together, it's starting to turn into things. Like right here in Central Florida, we have a 400 and some acre property where a man is teaching permaculture. Okay, there's another builder in another part of Florida teaching how to construct things out of like hemp and hempcrete and things like that, alternative construction. Up in Canada, there's two gentlemen that have founded companies on alternative building, get away from the brick and mortar buildings that fall apart, get termites in them, and they fall apart within 30 years, and you're spending all that money to fix them, whereas they're going to start creating things that are much more efficient and much more earth-friendly. So, again, it starts out with an idea, and same thing with criminal justice as we're talking about tonight. We have to think outside the box when we're dealing with criminals who don't obey any rules. They have no ethics, no integrity, no character, no honor, and we have to proceed and create a new system. And I see Charles is with us. He's working on educating people with the Christian common law, which is the biblical law, and get away from man's law. What we're under now, as Charles would tell you, is a Roman, a form of Rome which is probably heavily Jewish influenced as well. So again, we need to come out of that system and get into what our Heavenly Father wants us into, which is something completely different than what we have here. And as we have a purpose in our heart to come out of this ugly Babylonian system to live in righteousness with our fellow man, that's going to grow. And there's signs that it's growing worldwide right now, because people are beginning to realize that man-made government and man-made banking institutions and man-made corporations, all three of them work together against us. Okay? They're all against us. They're just tools to control us and to manipulate us. They're not our friends. They're actually our enemies. Okay, I yield. Anybody else have anything?
You know, our people have been enslaved before. And, you know, you read about the stuff in the Bible about how our people were released from being slaves. Now, you know, we read about that stuff, but you have to wonder, what would that actually be like and feel like to have that happen in our lifetimes, where the Federal Reserve, the IRS, all these things that have enslaved us, if one day they just all went away? That would be the greatest feeling on earth.
Amen. Well,
I think we're gonna
one day
they
will go
away. I really do. I think
what's
we'll
that?
See it in our lifetime. I think we'll see that in our lifetime.
Yeah, we're coming
but,
to the end
but,
of this
but then
day.
we have to worry about, are they trying to, they know the corruption's being exposed of the dirty system, so now we have to be careful what they try to bring in behind that, trying to pass it off as the good system. We got to be very cautious. They're always playing dirty games.
That's right. They operate
and
by deception.
And a lot of what they do, because not all wars are physical, folks. What they do in the courtrooms, what's going on in the political arena, it's all a war.
Yeah, we're in war. Amen to that. Okay, anybody else? If not, then I will go ahead and mute everybody and close this out with a short prayer. Let me go ahead and take care of that.
Thank you again.
Whoops, go ahead, Kathleen. I'm sorry, I'm muted.
No.
Go ahead. You were saying something.
No, I just wanted to thank you again for being on your program.
Oh, you're welcome. And by the way, I forgot to mention it to you, Kathleen. You're welcome back at any time. So if there's something that changes, or whether it's good news, bad news, but if it's something that you want to share with the family, you are more than welcome to come back, and we'll do this again. Okay.
Oh, I appreciate that. I'm planning on bringing some good news of the next success, so thank you.
Yeah, amen. We love hearing good news, especially in this war, so
yes.
Hallelujah for that. All right, I'm going to go ahead and then close this out. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for our many, many blessings. We thank you for this opportunity to share. We thank you for Kathleen's victories. We pray that that continues, and that somebody will hear tonight or tomorrow when they listen to the broadcast, that they will reach out to her with information on setting up that GoFundMe page. That's very, very important. The enemy has unlimited resources. Our people are fighting on a shoestring budget. We certainly know that here. So we just ask and pray that you would watch over Kathleen and all those who are assisting her. And all of our people are struggling, because many of them are. They're up against Goliath. They're up against the beast. So give us courage, Father. Give us discernment. Give us a stiff backbone that we are your children. We are your administrators. And we were put here to be in charge, not to be in the back seat. We are the ones who should be administering your law upon this earth. And we are the ones who will, with your help, bring this system to its knees and eventually destroy it, utterly destroy it, so that mankind is free to live as you intended and not this sick, demented world that we have today. To that end, we ask that you be with us and guide us in all that we say and do to thy glory and for your kingdom, Father Yahweh. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.